Mike Tadubin. Hello, friend, and greetings again in the name of the Lord Jesus. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. This is Bob Griggs, and I'm delighted that you've turned your radio dial to join us here on the Bread of Life broadcast. Well, actually, we're on the Internet today. And we're glad that you're listening there on the Internet as we're looking into God's Word in the book of Romans, chapter 6. And we're glad that you've decided to listen to another one of our broadcasts. We trust that you'll be blessed and inspired, encouraged, and uplifted, and that you will learn the truth of how we as believers can walk in victory over the world, over the flesh, over Satan and his demons, through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, and knowing who we are as believers in Christ Jesus. Remember, Jesus said in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And what is the truth? Jesus told us in John 17:17, as he prayed to God the Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The word of God is the truth, beloved. And we're told in Romans chapter 12 that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And it's the word of truth that transforms our minds. It's the word of truth that changes our thought processes. You know, the mind is a very intricate and amazing thing. And as I understand it, as you think a thought, it traces its way across the brain. And the more you think the same thought, the deeper that trace becomes. And in our mind, there are some superhighways because we've thought the same thing so many times that it's engraved a long superhighway, so to speak, in our mind, and it's easy to think on those things. And the old man was the one who programmed us to think the ways of the world with the world philosophy. And this matter of renewing our mind has to do with the truth, and fixing the truth in our mind, reading the Word of God and meditating upon it, and letting the Word of God begin to engrave our mind and to be fixed in our mind and in our thoughts, so that when we're attacked by the enemy, we can pull the sword of the Spirit from our minds and stand against the enemy in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so knowing who we are and understanding what is ours is so vital and so important. And last time here in Romans chapter 6, we were talking about how that our old man, the old sin nature, is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed. This physical body, it's going to be eliminated someday, and even now we can have victory over its lust and over its appetites and over its carnal desires. It can be put down, and we can understand that we in our spirit are dead to sin and alive to God, that henceforth we should not serve sin. From this time forward, beloved, we should no longer be slaves of sin. Many times I've found out that in the Word of God, words that are translated servant actually should be slaves, because we were bought out of the slave market of sin. And we, in the original writings, it was the word that means a slave. And we are slaves of sin until we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. He redeemed us from the slave market of sin. In the days of the Roman Empire, they had slave markets, and people that were captured in their wars, they would bring in and sell them as slaves, and a slave would become the property of the one who purchased it. And they had no rights of their own. They were a slave. They belonged to the one who purchased them, and they could do with them, in them, and through them whatever they wanted to do. Well, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1 that he was a slave of Jesus Christ. He has been redeemed and purchased, he said, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me find it here, and I'll read it to you. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. There it is. It's translated servant, but actually in the original writings, the word was slave. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, called an apostle. You notice the words to be are italicized. It means that those were added by the translator. And so Paul was called an apostle by the Lord God. He was separated unto the gospel of God. Now, beloved, we are slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he purchased us, we became his property. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know ye not that you're not your own? You belong to the Lord God. We're his property, for we were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And he indwells us in our spirit at salvation. John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And so the Holy Spirit does the work of salvation within our spirit, and we are born again. We are new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us. And it's in our spirit that this transaction has occurred, and that the Spirit of God now indwells and lives in us. And so the old man has been put to death, and the Spirit of God has given us life eternal, and we are alive in our spirit. Once we were dead in trespasses and in sin, Ephesians 2:1-5a tells us. But in Christ Jesus, we have life eternal, and Christ now lives in us. Galatians 2:20. He says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's 1 Corinthians. And then in Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ lives in you. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, he lives in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, just over the next page there. Romans chapter 8, and notice verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now notice, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father. Now notice the next phrase. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, and there it is, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So when we invite the Lord Jesus to come into our heart, it's our spirit that we're inviting Christ to come into, and it's in the person of the Holy Spirit that he moves into our spirit, and we become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. So our old sin nature has been crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that no longer should it rule and reign and have the dominance in our life. But henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, in like manner, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, beloved, this is the truth. This is the Word of God. Do you believe it? He says that this body is dead to sin, and in our spirit we are righteous. The body still has indwelling sin in it, and I misspoke. The body is not dead to sin. The body is very much alive unto sin. Romans chapter 7 tells us that sin indwells this fleshly body, but the Spirit indwells our spirit, and in our spirit we have died to sin and have become alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so reckon it, consider it, accept it, and live like it, beloved. Live like you're dead to sin. Don't allow sin to rule and reign in your body. Don't allow yourself to come under the control and dominion of any sinful habit. Beloved, you have the power of the Spirit of God in you. Reckon yourself indeed to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's through the power of Christ living in us. That's why Paul said in Romans or in Galatians 2:20, "Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I believe what God's Word tells me, and that Christ lives in me, and by His mighty power, I can say no to sin. I can turn from the old fleshly lust. I can put them under and reckon myself dead to the flesh, and alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body." Beloved, we do not have to allow sin to control us any longer. We do not have to allow sin to rule and reign in us anymore, because Christ has liberated us. He has set us free. And it's a choice that you have to make to believe God's Word and to act upon it, and to not yield to the lusts of the flesh. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Don't yield to it. Don't give in to it. Don't allow it to rule in your body. "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Beloved, you're a new creation. Live like who you are. Do not live like who you were. No longer are you under the control and dominion of sin. You do not have to live that way, beloved. You do not have to allow lust to control your body. You do not have to yield your eyes to watch pornography. You do not have to yield your ears to listen to that which dishonors and disgraces and blasphemes the name of the Lord. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Listen to songs that glorify Jesus and that lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, not songs that stir up fleshly motions and fleshly desires. Do not allow sin to reign in your mortal body. Yield yourself to the Lord Jesus. Till next time, goodbye.